This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
Really excited to be joined by financial advisor Sam Instone from AS International. It is the only chartered financial planning firm outside of the UK. They're based down in DFC that are only fee-based. That means no commission, and they work the client, not as the agent for the product provider. This is a really long way of saying that they're legit. And it's all about evidence-based independent planning. He's a graduate of King's College, University of London, and served as a British Army officer. So, well, I wouldn't mess with him, let's just say that. He's also a member of the Chartered Institute of Insurance, the Personal Finance Society, and the Skinners Library Company as well. Hello, sir.
Hi, Helen. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. Welcome to the show. Are you a coffee drinker? Because I think you're going to be quite busy between now and 5 o'clock.
Absolutely. Already had a cup of coffee.
Good man. And you brought me a present.
I did.
So I like you already. What is it?
I bought you a copy of my favourite financial book, which is called Millionaire Expat.
The favourite financial book implies to me that you've got many favourite financial
hundreds
books.
Hundreds and hundreds of financial books. But this one, because we are nearly all expats here, it is by best-selling author Andrew Hallam, who wrote Millionaire Teacher, has often been on this radio channel. And Millionaire Expat, How to Build Wealth Living Overseas. It's full of very, very sensible advice to avoid common mistakes.
I shall be passing it on to my husband, who I regret to say is pretty much in charge of almost everything when it comes to our finances. So it's worth a read. What are your main kind of takeaways from the Millionaire Expat book? What should we all be doing for those of us who are living away from our home countries?
Three very simple steps. The first is really making sure that you build on the right foundations, that you have the right type of bank accounts. The second one is that you spend less than you earn.
Okay.
And you have some type of plan in place. And the third one is all about investing wisely, be it in stocks and investments, shares and bonds, or buying property. But it's investing wisely in bold Times New Roman capital underlined, okay, not speculatively.
Okay.
And if you get those three steps right, you're in front of everybody else.
Okay, right. No Name on this one saying, would love to get your opinion on this, guys. My husband earns three times what I do, yet he still expects me to contribute the same as him for rent, education, nanny, etc. We each have separate bank accounts. Savings are also separate, but obviously he saves a lot more than me. It's a happy marriage on the whole, but how can I tell him that he's being unreasonable? Is this a scenario that you have faced when it comes to clients coming to you, Sam? It's top three.
And it's very difficult for people to express and get right. It causes all types of frustrations and anxieties within marriages. And so the ability to speak openly and transparently, communicate, is obviously critical. And that's one of the many forms of a good advisor should encourage people to talk about life plans, relationships and money in a good and open way. But when I was looking at that question before coming on, I immediately thought that sounds a little harsh.
Mm-hmm. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a tricky one because I don't know you, No Name, but it does sound like he's being unreasonable. He's earning three times as much as you and he's expecting you to split everything separately. The point here, we each have separate bank accounts. Is that a smart move in this region in general when it comes to married couples because of banks freezing, or should people be sticking it all in the same pot?
Coming back to the step one from Millionaire Expat, establishing the right platform and the ABC rule for expats. If you come from country A and you live in country B, then you should keep the bulk of your money in country C. And reasons for people such as living here in Dubai is if you have a car accident, you lose your job, or mm-hmm. even worse, you die, then mm-hmm. you can have your account frozen. So part of making sure that you get the right type of solution for you and your individual needs is making sure that you have that platform and your wealth well established in country C. And I'd say for family, there are lots of banks where you can have joint accounts and individual accounts. I know with my one being financial, I have all the main accounts and sub accounts and mortgage accounts, which I can see happily in the Isle of Man. I use Nedbank Private Wealth, which also has a branch here in Dubai. I've always been very, very happy with them, and I can see everything all in one place.
So coming back to No Name here, I think it speaks to the interesting point here about imbalances between men and women, not just in earnings, which is, you know, hopefully something that's going to be amended in the future, although I'm not holding my breath anytime soon for many industries, but also what is she contributing above money. And that could be family care. It could be putting her career on hold effectively to help with the children. And, you know, contribution doesn't always just come to money when it comes to having a family. Everybody's contributing in different ways. And it doesn't sound like you're on the same team here, to be honest with you. So could going to see a financial advisor or even a marriage counsellor be beneficial to have someone act as that kind of mediator?
I think difficult conversations about money. Exactly. It's going to be interesting to see what your listeners think about this one. I'd share your view. Exactly. It seems a mismatch and imbalance and getting in front of somebody who's going to help them facilitate that conversation about the difficult conversation about money and establish the right foundations on which to build moving forward. Sounds like a very sensible idea.
The Little Black Book, with the names and numbers you really need.
We are joined this afternoon by financial advisor. We've got Sam here in Stone. He's a financial advisor dedicated to making the world healthy, wealthy and wise, a champion of positive change within the international financial services profession. He is here from AES International. Got a question here for you, Sam. No name, saying 4 years ago, I was sold a savings plan from a well-known provider by a Dubai-based agent. Recently inquired about the funds currently held in the plan. I was told by the advisor who sold me it that they didn't like it because it was inflexible and very expensive. What would you advise?
Great question. And I think with these types of questions, I look at technology and how much technology changes. And exactly the same applies to financial services. Every day, every month, every year, better products are coming out, cheaper things, more evidence, more scientific research goes in, and things change very rapidly, as does the financial services marketplace within Dubai. And even in the short period of time I've been in the Middle East, we've had reiteration after iteration. And it's really important to make sure you stay in front and therefore regularly get matters reviewed and look for better options. I can guess that those types of products and services which were prevalent when I came to the Middle East are now seen as expensive, inflexible, opaque, and better options exist. Mm-hmm. So really, the important takeaway is to make sure that you keep abreast of these types of developments and keep making sure that you get the best charges, access terms available.
So what about this individual? What advice would you take kind of moving forward?
I'd ask for a free second opinion, an X-ray review. I'd look at the options which should compare with the options which are currently available in the market. It may well be that if it is highly priced, expensive or inflexible, then a better option exists. And I'd rather take the, I know with many of those endowment or maximum investment plans, offshore savings schemes, pension schemes, it's better when you put it out into an Excel spreadsheet and extrapolate over time, compare that with the better options which are now available. It's often better just to encash it, take the money and reinvest it in a lower cost, more flexible option.
Okay. Keep your messages coming in for Sam, who's with us until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Katerina asking, what is your take on app-based banks like Liv, thinking about getting one as a second bank account?
So Liv is an app by Emirates NBD.
Yes.
It's a lifestyle app and it will allow you to have a little bit of planning, which you can go into. And that really comes back to the second step in Millionaire Expat of making sure that you spend less than you earn. And often saving isn't the big issue. It's having or finding the money to save in the first place. Mm-hmm. And with apps which enable you to track your spending, it allows you to try to budget and get a grip over those numbers in a better way. And of course, if you can create that excess of capital and have the money available to save, you can start to plan where you want to be in the future.
I mean, the fact that it comes from Emirates NBD, you know, truly means it is most likely very, very trustworthy. And I think you get lots of discounts as well with Liv, so hopefully saving you a bit more money there.
Absolutely.
And in terms of sign-up, I don't think you need as many bits of paperwork or cards as well for getting that set up. So it all sounds quite positive. Now, I'm no financial advisor, but I think I could answer this one, so I want to get your take on it. No name, saying, I've made a very stupid mistake that has cost me potentially years of my life to fix. I owe 100,000 dirhams in credit card debt and I'm 21. I leased a car that I could not afford and have had to use my credit cards to keep up with the bills and day-to-day living expenses. I don't spend too much beside my bills. I don't buy expensive clothes or go out to eat. I don't have expensive habits and I always look for deals, but somehow my debt keeps piling up. Should I surrender my car to keep up with payments?
Surrender the car.
I thought it was going to be that. Bit of a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Don't take on debt which you can't afford to service, particularly in this type of environment where the cost of borrowing is so much higher than in many other types of markets.
The Little Black Book, with trusted experts, free advice on everything from health to home, fitness and finance.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
And it's finance this afternoon. We've got financial advisor Sam Instone here from AES International. Right, we're going to do a quick fire round, sir. Are you up to it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Priyanka asking, I'm 25, live with my parents with almost no bills. I work full time. What can I do to best save and grow my income? Without going into too much detail, I had some personal issues and never finished university. I'm back at home now and have an okay job making $9,000 per month. So, no rent, almost no bills. What can she be doing to make the most of her money?
Great. The first is to follow the steps. Earlier, step one, make sure you have the right type of account. And to find that, you can look at many of the online comparison websites at different accounts, different saving rates. Then you want to make sure that you budget, spend less than you earn. And it sounds like Priyanka's in a good position.
I'd say so, yeah.
To do that, make a budget, work out what you can save, and then invest wisely. And again, that book I mentioned at the beginning, Millionaire Expat, How to Build Wealth Whilst Living Overseas, has a step-by-step run-through of how to invest wisely, which is basically to do the opposite of what most people will tell you in life. It's to keep costs very low and diversify, and let compound interest do work its magic in low-cost index funds.
This sounds like the time where Priyanka could be doing some really big saving, and one of those times you look back and go, oh, I really wish I'd saved more money then when I didn't have many outgoings. What kind of percentage would you advise that she saves, and then equally for people who do have more outgoings?
It will entirely depend on her circumstances, but if she is making that $9,000 and that has low expenses, then she may well be able to save up to 50% of those monthly earnings. I think it's important then to also think what type for her to properly understand risk and what level of risk is she happy to take in order to get different types of returns. But the earlier you begin, the easier it is. And it makes a huge difference beginning early.
Okay, I know. Isn't that classic thing? Like the best time to do something was 20 years ago. The second best time to do it is tomorrow. So yeah, good for you, Priyanka. Crack on. HB is asking, wife and I are sitting on some money, about 200,000 dirhams, and we're thinking about buying property in the UK where I am from. Would it be wise to wait until after Brexit, thinking about second home or holiday homes for rental?
Brits love property. And broadly, there are three main asset classes: equities, little bits of companies where you own a little bit of the company, get a return, fixed income or government bonds, which is really lending, and property. The key thing with property is to make sure that you do it in a tax efficient way, because here we live in a largely a tax-free paradise in the Middle East. And as soon as you take that capital and put it into certain markets, then it can become taxable. And there can be all types of different tax consequences in different types of markets. We would generally say, don't try and time the market, because it's going to be forecasting or speculation. So if you decide that that's what you want to do, don't try and time it, but buy it when you feel it's ready. But there are a lot of things to think about before investing in property. Myself being one of them, I know that I've got all types of nightmare problems with tenants renting out property and mm-hmm. tax liabilities and leaky pipes and council tax in the UK at the moment. And I wish I'd centralised everything here into a tax-free market.
Okay, hope that helped. Now, Artie is saying, we have a son who's 15. What's the best financial advice I can give him? Great question.
That really is a great question. And it's one of the things I'm particularly keen about, the things which people should be taught at school. And that was actually Andrea Hallam's first book, A Millionaire Teacher, The Lessons You Should Have Been Learned at School. And there's lots of work going on here in the UAE Kids Financial Initiative, whereby children can begin to learn important financial lessons. I would actually say the most important thing is to understand that no one cares about your own finances as much as you.
Yes, that's very true.
And therefore, ultimately, it's you who has the responsibility to arm yourself with the right knowledge. Companies exist as a function of capitalism to make money and profits, and they all have special offers coming out. Some will offer excellent service, but they all want to make money from you. And it's ultimately a personal responsibility to make sure you establish the right type of platform. You spend less than you earn, you plan properly, and you invest wisely. And people are bombarded constantly with information to make them do certain types of behaviors, whether it's marketing, financial press, and financial salespeople, banks, building societies, insurance companies, insurance salespeople, and brokers. Nobody cares as much as you to take personal responsibility to learn. And you can do that by reading books like Millionaire Expat.
Which I'm very glad you're giving me a copy of. But for other people, where is the book available from? And you're not the author, by the way. It's just a book you're passionate about.
It's just because I see so many nightmare issues at this, where people haven't been given the right information at the outset. And I know by reading a simple book, which is $22, people are going to avoid and head off at the past mistakes, which later compound and cost them hundreds of thousands. They get stuck in these commonly in opaque and flexible products sold to them by financial salespeople who are trying to make as much profit as possible.
Dubai Eye 103.8 presents an array of independent expert opinions and does not advise one particular view. Always seek independent legal advice which considers your own personal circumstances.
The Little Black Book, with the names and numbers you really need.
So I've got a bit of a financial literacy quiz, which, Sam, I'm not really going to ask you this because, well, honestly, if you didn't ace it, I'd be chucking you out of my studio right here, right now. But it's more for us mere mortals to see what grasp we have. And this was devised by a professor in the States who works with NFL players and indeed people who have come out of the NFL after spending, say, 5 years of earning a load of money and don't really know what to do with it, which I think is quite a common thing when it comes to sports people, right?
Absolutely. It's unbelievably common. If you look at the statistics, I think around 75% of all professional sports players are bankrupt within 5 years of finishing their sports. It's a very common financial education and literacy. It's a very common problem with the highly paid, like it is with many of the general population as well.
So this is devised to see how financially literate you are. So let's kick off with this question. Suppose you have $100 in a savings account earning 2% interest a year. After 5 years, how much would you have? Would you have more than $102, less than $102, the same, or you don't know? The correct answer is
more.
Okay, now imagine that the interest rate on your savings account is 1% a year and inflation is 2% a year. After 1 year, would the money in the account buy more than it does today, exactly the same, or less than today? The answer is
less.
Okay, I'm doing all right. Okay. True or false? A 15-year mortgage typically requires higher monthly payments than a 30-year mortgage, but the total interest over the life of the loan will be less. True or false?
True.
Okay. And last one, true or false? Buying a single company stock usually provides a safer return than a stock mutual fund. False.
Definitely false.
Okay. So, guys, let us know how you did on that one. But as Sam said earlier, it's about educating ourselves, empowering ourselves, and also our kids as well. Question here saying, returning to Australia after years in Dubai, can you please recommend a similar book to Expat Millionaire to educate me, please?
Sure. Well, chapter 14 of Expat Millionaire, we'll talk about Australians, but I would generally say The Wisdom of Warren Buffett. Why not go there? Many muses and books that he produces, which is all about the wise investment and step three, which I talked about, after getting the right platform, spending less than you earn, planning, is it all about investing wisely, and no better person in the world to give that type of advice. The world's most successful investor. And he'll talk very much, it applies to everybody, about being aware of market gurus, not speculating, accepting the market price, keeping costs very low. And so his wisdom is good, not just for returning Australians, but for everybody. And one of the keys which he'll talk about is not having home country bias, thinking purely about the FTSE 100 for me as a Brit, or looking at the investing in the Australian market, but looking at the entire world, buying the world, because diversification and staying balanced is also one of his favourite terms.
Okay. Just a couple of quick questions. Stefan is saying, any advice about getting a lower limit put on my credit card? They upped it automatically last year and I want it broke down again. And is it true that available balance counts as debt? So I think this happens quite a lot. You get the notification saying, hi, happy to report your credit card's been put up to XXX. And you go, I don't want it. I don't want that kind of limit. Can we then inform the bank to bring it back down again?
Absolutely. Contact the bank and ask them to lower it. It's very common here in the UAE that banks are constantly trying to lend money because that's where they make the most money. Remember, no one cares about your finances as much as you yourself. If you don't need it, don't have it, you'll be charged for it. So lower it.
Okay. And Barrett has got in touch saying he got all of those financial literacy questions right. So there you go. Sunil saying, my dad wants to set up a bank account for our baby and pay in on a regular basis, plus extra for birthday, Diwali, etc. What is the best option? We're all here in Dubai.
Wow, that's a great opportunity. I think the National ran an article last week about the opportunities which parents have or grandparents have to make their babies incredibly wealthy by the time they're 18.
Tell me more.
So when you, we talked earlier about starting early, of course, there's no better time to start than when they're born.
Yeah, go on.
Going back to Warren Buffett, the miracle of compound growth and time, literally by saving relatively small amounts of money from if grandparents put money aside on a regular basis, that will compound. Time will work its magic, and by the time they're 18, they'll have a huge savings pot. If they keep going all the way up to the age of 40,
you know what's going to happen at 18, they'll be like, I really want to go on a holiday. Can I have that account that granddad set up for me?
100%.
So what about the best account here, or does it not really matter?
I'll say shop around. Just as I said earlier, things are constantly changing. Special offers are coming out. Make sure you shop around. You look at the charges, access and terms available. Do your homework. Double check and try and get the best available at that time.
Sam Inston, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you and contact you and indeed tap you up for some more information?
Thanks very much for having me on. I live in the Dubai International Financial Centre.
I thought you were going to give your home address for a second there.
Absolutely not. Googling AS International will come up. Feel free to contact anytime.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.